Thanks, man. I got to move along. Appreciate it. Let's get to Chris Sheridan from and talk some NBA. What's up, Chris? How are you?
What's up, Pete? You didn't hear I left.
Oh, no. No, I didn't know you left. Oh, that's right. You got your own website now. What am I talking about?
That's right, man. 3 months. So it's not quite 3 months old, but it's doing very well.
That's right. I forgot. Well, he put up there. I forgot you left. You got all the NBA guys writing with you on there.
That's right. The name of the site, listeners, is SheridanHoops.com. You can go there. It's a pretty good, little different website. Real high quality, real streamlined. You'll love it. And check it out.
That's right, Chris. And you went overseas, didn't you, for a while?
I went overseas. Yeah. Yeah, I was in Lithuania for the European Championship. It was the European Olympic qualifier. Spain and France made it to the gold medal game, so they both get to go. And Spain killed France in the gold medal game. And France got a good team. They got five NBA players on that team, and they might have seven by the time they go to the Olympics. But yeah, I was the only American journalist in Lithuania at Eurobasket, and it was good. I got to see the competition that the Americans will face, the best team the Americans will face for the gold medal in London next summer. That team is Spain, and if you let me go on and on.
Yeah, I want to hear about it.
They got Serge Ibaka from the Oklahoma City Thunder now playing. He's the only guy on the Spanish team who speaks French, who's from the Congo, but he's got Spanish passport, and you had him on the front line with Powell and Marc Gasol, and all of a sudden, Spain, which already had a size advantage over the United States, and Spain played the U.S. pretty tight in that gold medal game, very tight in that gold medal game in Beijing. But now they've added Ibaka, and they've added an athletic player on who can get things done on both ends of the court that Spain couldn't get done before. And Spain's really, I think, the only country that's a threat to the United States in London, because we're going over there with a team that's going to make the Beijing team look terrible. By the time they whittle it down to 12, it's going to be some U.S. roster. But Spain's good, and they're going to have Rubio, and they're going to have Calderon, and they're going to have, most importantly, Juan Carlos Navarro, who's probably the best player playing in Europe right now. You remember him from Memphis, of course, Pete.
Yeah, and, I mean, but he wasn't that good. He wasn't great in the NBA, though.
No, he wasn't, but he was the MVP of this tournament, and it wasn't even close. He was way better than Pau Gasol. He was way better than, I wouldn't say he's way, way better than Tony Parker, but he was a little better than Tony Parker, who was great in the tournament and finished second in the MVP voting. And Kirilenko played, and there were a lot of good players in this tournament. And Navarro, just in the last three games, when it's one and done, Navarro had 24, 28, and 27, and he just, nobody could stop him. And
so he's better than Rubio, then?
Oh, Juan Carlos Navarro is 10 times better ball player than Ricky Rubio. Juan Carlos Navarro is the best player in Europe who's not in the NBA.
Wow, okay. Because when he was in the NBA, he was just okay.
Yeah, they didn't use him very much. They used him as a spot player off the bench, and, you know, he was a little younger then, and he was making the adjustment, and a lot of guys, you know, depending on the circumstances they go into it, they're not used to playing the American style, and if they don't get hot real quick, they end up sitting on the bench and going back to Europe. There's been a few guys who've done that. Navarro has, and Spanoulis, the best player in Greece, he played 1 year in Houston and said, I hate this so much, I'm going to give up my $4 million guaranteed contract just so I can go back and play in Greece where I want to be. But there's some good ball players out there. The Greeks beat the United States and Japan in 2006, and Spain has beaten the United States at the World Championships before. So, but going into the London Games, I'm telling you, it's going to be Spain and the U.S. in the gold medal match, and Spain has got a damn good team.
The French team has Noah and Parker and the guy Batum, right? They're all on that team?
Yeah, Batum and Diop all played. Turiaf got hurt, but he came to the tournament. He spent the whole tournament in Lithuania, but he didn't play. And Beauvoir did not play, and Pietras did not play. But those are two NBA guys that they could add who are legitimate NBA players. And they have Jelibal, and I'm leaving somebody else out. And they have a really good guard, Nando DiColo, who not a lot of Americans have heard of, but a lot of Europeans have, who's another guy who could probably play in the NBA as a backup point guard and be a pretty productive 18 to 19 minute player per night. But he's not, I don't think he's starter material.
I love that stuff. I knew I saw you over there. That's why I should have mentioned your site, because I knew you were overseas, and covering all that stuff. I love that stuff. I love when you get the countries together and see who can play well together. And there's always a guy, you know, like Rubio was once that guy. There's always a guy that nobody really knows about that kind of emerges in those things.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, Rubio had a terrible, terrible Eurobasket. He missed pretty much every shot he took in the whole tournament. That's how bad of a tournament he had. He finished something like 2-for-19 from the field. Got to the point where he was never shooting. And Ricky's game has really regressed, I'd say, since, you know, he played very, very well in the 2008 Olympics. And but ever since, that was probably the highlight of his career. And he was 18 years old playing against Jason Kidd, Darren Williams, and Chris Paul, and he held his own. And he's regressed a little bit. It's going to be interesting to see how he fits in Minnesota because he doesn't have a great team around him, and he's lost all confidence in his jump shot. And he was the worst player on the Spanish national team in Eurobasket, and he barely even got off the bench in the gold medal game against France.
Wow, that's pretty amazing when you think about it, all the hype about Ricky Rubio. All right, the NBA is back. I guess guys could report today, but they had to sign a waiver. Free agency can begin. There's talk of Dwight Howard going to the Nets for Lopez and 2 first-round picks, but I can't imagine. Is that going to happen?
No, that'll set the Magic back into the Stone Age. Look, Lopez isn't half the player that Dwight Howard is, and if they have Dwight Howard and Darren Williams as their centerpieces moving into Brooklyn, you know, they got the makings of a team that's going to be pretty good, so those draft picks aren't going to turn out to be all that good. So I think it would take a lot more than Brook Lopez and a couple picks to get him. But, you know, one of the big questions going until the players, until camps officially open on December 9th is Dwight Howard going to say something definitive about his future? Because everybody's expecting that Dwight's going to leave next summer as a free agent. And naturally, the Magic will want to get something for him while they can before the trade deadline if he is indeed going to get moved. So it becomes a question of if Dwight says something that, along the lines of, look, guys, I'm playing the whole season in Orlando, come hell or high water, that'll shut it up. Even if it's not true, it'll still shut it up. You know, that's something that Carmelo Anthony never would say last year. He'd just say, for now, I'm a Nugget, and everybody knew what was going on, and that story was alive for 2 months before the trade went down. So there's going to be it'll be a huge distraction in Orlando, same as it will be for Chris Paul in New Orleans, because he's in the exact same situation as Dwight. You know, he's probably would rather play somewhere else, and he's in the last year of his contract, or he can opt out of his contract. So those are two storylines that are going to be really overpowering throughout the whole season. And I think right now in the hoopla over the lockout getting settled, there's probably been too much attention given to the Dwight Howard and Chris Paul angles because, look, New Orleans doesn't have an owner, so David Stern's not trading Chris Paul. The league office owns New Orleans Hornets, and Chris Paul is their number one asset, and they don't have an owner, so they're not going to sell their number one asset. Yeah. And then Dwight Howard can shut everybody up when he shows up in Orlando and says if he says something that will quiet the trade rumors. So, but I think between now and then, we're going to hear a lot of that.
Yeah, and the rumor out there now is that Boston would make a deal for Rondo to Paul, but Paul's not going to go play there. That team's going to get blown to smithereens at the end of the year. They're going to blow it all up, right?
I don't know why the Celtics would want to get rid of Rajon Rondo. He's a guy you want to stick around probably and have in green and white for the next 10 years, despite his flaws. Look how successful they've been with him. And, you know, that big three still probably has one more competitive year in it. Let's see how they, you know, I think the Perkins for Green trade really, really shook up that team last year, and it wasn't Danny Ainge's best move ever. But Kevin Garnett has got another good year left in him. Ray Allen, Paul Pierce certainly has good years left in him. And Rondo's great. And Rondo's, you know, he's the best terrible shooter you'll ever see in the NBA. But the way he dishes out assists and makes things happen, you know, kind of like Steve Nash used to do with Phoenix when they were running a more wide open offense. Rondo does that for the Celtics. So I don't think Chris Paul makes them a better team than Rajon Rondo already has them.
Chris, what about Tyson Chandler? I know he's going to be in play as a free agent. You think he goes back to the Mavericks?
It depends. It's a good question because there's going to be a lot of money out there at first. And I think the number one free agent center is Nene from the Nuggets. He's a max guy. And behind that, there's Marc Gasol, but he's restricted. And there's Greg Oden, who's got, you know, terrible, terrible injury history. And Samuel Dalembert, and he's not going to give you much. you know what you're getting with him. It's not a great player. And then there's Tyson. And if somebody wants to throw Tyson a four-year contract at a ton of money, the Mavericks, you know, Tyson, I'm sure, will go back to the Mavericks and say, hey, I've got this offer. They've got to decide, you know, should we do that? Should we, you know, pay this price for Tyson Chandler? And if they do, they're going to have to get rid of their other center, Brendan Haywood, who would they would probably amnesty. But if Chandler's getting overpaid, I guess my point is, how much money do you have left over to keep your other free agent if you're the Mavericks? And that guy is J.J. Barea. And if you remember from their championship run, Barea was a guy who was always coming off the bench and throwing up 12 straight points in a row, and nobody could stop him. And he had a breakout playoffs, and he's going to make himself a lot of money. There's going to be teams that want J.J. He's a free agent, unrestricted. And, again, are the Mavericks going to be able to keep both those guys, Chandler and Barea, and keep their core together for the upcoming season? And I'm not sure that they're going to be able to keep both. But, you know, Mark Cuban does spend his money kind of like a drunken sailor sometimes. So I think if it only came at the cost of amnestying Brendan Haywood, he would probably do what it takes to keep both Chandler and Barea.
Any chance Miami gets one of those big guys?
No, Miami doesn't have any cap room. They have a mid-level to offer, and there's a lot of guys who want to come play in Miami. But I really couldn't put my finger right now on which guy they're going to get. You know, there's what does Miami need? They need a better year out of Mike Miller, and if they don't think they're going to get that, then they need another guy who can shoot the ball. And I'll tell you a guy who's out there, he's off everybody's radar because he hasn't played in 2 years because he's been hurt, but it's Michael Redd. He's coming off a max contract with the Milwaukee Bucks, and he's unrestricted, and he hasn't played in a year and a half, like I said, because of his knee. But Michael Redd can shoot the ball, and I think Michael Redd is the type of player that would go to a place like Miami or New York on a one-year deal at a low salary and try to reestablish his value. So, you know, I would look for Miami to add a piece like that. They've got some pretty damn good main pieces already.
We're talking with Chris Sheridan from SheridanHoops.com. Chris, who won in the lockout? Was there a winner? You know, they tried to ask that question after the NFL lockout. Was there a winner and a loser here?
Yeah, they always, you know, they always say the owners won. They said it in 99 and 05, and they say it. And I'll say this. Well, you know, the owners definitely won financially. They got $3 billion. There's no disputing that. But who knows what the league revenue growth is going to be over the next 6 years when they have a new TV deal and whatnot. And 51% or 50% of a much larger pie is going to be an awful lot of money. So, you know, let's look at it this way, Pete. In 6 years, both sides have an opt-out. Let's see who takes the opt-out, and then we'll know who won the deal.
Hey, Chris, just tell the folks about the site, because I know you got Jan Hubbard, you got Mark Heisel. I mean, these guys have all, with yourself and everybody, you guys have all been covering the league for years and years and years.
Yeah, but, well, Mark Heisel did 35 years at the L.A. Times, and he's in the Hall of Fame, and he was one of the guys I first called when I said I was thinking of starting my own site, and he said he'd be on board, and Mark's been great. Mark had a column up yesterday about how the Lakers want to trade for both Dwight Howard and Chris Paul, and he also had some real interesting stuff about how much money they're going to be making now. So they're going to be making $150 to $170 million a year in profits, the Lakers. That's an astounding amount of money. To put it in perspective, the most profitable team 2 years ago was the Knicks, and they were terrible, but they made $65 million. And the Lakers are going to have money to spend, and they're going to do what they can to keep Kobe happy and to try to win championships. It's going to be really weird seeing that team without Phil Jackson. But anyway, I'm tangenting off from your main question. What was it again, Pete?
About just all the guys on the site. You know, Mark. We talked about Mark, and you said 35 years. And Jan Hubbard was at the Dallas Morning News for years, right? And then Newsday or something, wasn't it?
Jan was at Newsday in the mid 2000s, and he covered the NBA a long time there, and then he went to work in the league office actually for 8 years. Then he went to both Dallas papers, the Star Telegram and the Morning News, and he's writing for me every Tuesday. And Chris Pernuca, who was the sports editor at Sports Ticker, who's an NBA nut, he writes for me every Thursday. I got a guy in Barcelona covering EuroLeague. He writes once a week, Nick Gibson, and I got a guy in Beijing who's the number one sports columnist for Teton Sports and the Beijing News and QQ.com. In China, you know, you hold like four jobs. And this guy's got, he's got great connections, and he's covering the American players in China for me. So I got a global site, and it's not like any other basketball site out there. and you know, you guys, your listeners should go take a look at it. I'm trying to make it streamlined and high quality, and I did a lot of logged a lot of hours covering the lockout and trying to do that well. So check it out, and I hope you like the site.
Yeah, I love the NBA.
It's a unique basketball site, I'll say that.
Yeah, I love the NBA, and I know you guys all do a great job, so I will be definitely a reader. I'm sure my audience who loves the NBA will be there as well. We'll have to do it again, Chris. You do great stuff. I appreciate it, and I hope the site, SheridanHoops.com, does a really, really good stuff. Appreciate it, man.
All right, Pete. Thanks, man.
All right, man. Take care. There you go. Chris Sheridan from SheridanHoops.com. All right, we got a break. We come back. On the other side, we will squeeze in a couple calls. JD the Barber is on hold. I love when JD the Barber calls in because, you know, I'm big in the barbershop. You know that. And Kevin also. We'll get to you guys coming up on the other side.
The Jacksonville Suns, back-to-back champions of the Southern League. Play here, 930 The Fox.